All right, thank you for that special. It's good to be here, and I'm thankful for all of you guys. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving last Thursday. I know we don't have much family in the area, but we spent our Thanksgiving with friends, and it was good to have a time that we can, you know, just spend time thanking God for what He's done for us and who He is. And I'm thankful for Pastor Ogle giving me the opportunity to preach, even though Michigan did lose yesterday. And I'm trying not to be bitter against Caleb this morning, which, you know, has something to do with the message, but not really. But I'm thankful for you guys as a church family. We don't have any family in the area in North Carolina, but I consider you guys a family to us, and I'm very thankful for the last couple months, how you guys have been such a family to us and receiving us in your church and being so kind. And I'm thankful for God and His forgiveness, His mercy, all the blessings that we have in Christ. We can't really fathom all that we have in Christ. And thinking back on Thanksgiving and just really focusing on what He's given to us just blows me away. And right here, I have this gift right here. How many of you guys maybe went Black Friday shopping? A lot of you guys. Okay. Well, I've only went once in my entire life, and I probably won't do it again. But in Michigan, we went to Cabela's, a big sporting goods store, and we were there like 3 in the morning, and we were outside in the cold, because it's Michigan, from like 3 till 6, 6:30, and it was freezing. There's people with tents set up outside, and the only thing that we really, really got was, I think, a $10 gift card. So it wasn't really worth it in the end. But a lot of times people go shopping on Black Friday for Christmas gifts and whatnot. And right here I have this gift for everybody in the room. Everybody here, it's addressed to you. It's not necessarily from me, but there is something in here that is to all of you. So I'm going to open it up. Do you guys want me to open it up?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So in here, it's something that you can't buy. It's something that money can't buy. All the money in the world cannot buy what is in here. But it's given to all of you. I'm not sure if you can read it, but it says forgiveness. And it's addressed from God and to us. From God and to us. We all have forgiveness offered to us from God. And that's nothing that money, all the money in the world can't buy that. And if you could turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verse 31 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. God's word says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the many blessings we have because of you coming down and dying on the cross for us. And Lord, I pray that we would not take forgiveness for granted. And Lord, I pray that we would offer forgiveness to everyone around us and forgive as you have forgiven us. And Lord, I pray that you would be with everybody who's not here this morning, maybe not feeling well, that they would come in better health. In your name, amen. A lot of times when people get gifts for Christmas or birthday or something, they'll do something called what is re-gifting. And they re-gift a present and give it to somebody else, you know, maybe whatever the reason is. But God here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." That we need to re-gift forgiveness to others. And many things in life are very difficult to do. You know, if I ask Christian, he's a pretty intelligent guy. Well, intelligent, not the pretty part, but he's... He does well in school. And if I asked him, you know, "I want you to build an engine for a flying tank." To my knowledge, I don't think it's been done before. But I want you to build an engine, or at least design an engine as soon as you can for a flying tank. You would probably say, Jordan, that's impossible. That's ridiculous. I can't do it. There was a man that you all probably know. His name was Henry Ford. And he once came up with a revolutionary plan for a new kind of engine, which we know today as the V8 engine. He had some men draw out the plans. He presented it to the engineers. And they told Henry Ford, your dream is impossible. Ford said, produce it anyway. I want you to do it. And so they stayed on the job. They started working on, you know, trying to build that engine. And they came back to him and they said, it's impossible. We can't do it. And then Ford said, go ahead. Keep trying. For 6 months, they struggled. Nothing. Another 6 months, nothing. At the end of the year, Ford checked with the engineers, and once again, they told him, it's impossible. We can't do it. But Ford still told them to keep going. And they did, and they finally discovered how to build the V8 engine. And here in this passage, God says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. It seems like an impossible task. How can we forgive others as God has forgiven us? In my mind, that seems impossible. In my mind, that seems I can't do it, no matter how much I try. But if God commands it, He will enable you to do it. So, well, you must be willing to have a spirit of forgiveness in every situation of life and to every person. And first, we'll see the great emptying before forgiveness. In verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. First of all, we'll see the removal of self. The meaning of put away in verse 31 has the idea of to remove or take away something. In John 1:29, it says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In the same way, we must remove all these things from our life. And the first one that we'll see is removing bitterness. It is impossible for forgiveness to be sincere if there is even 1 ounce of resentment in your heart. If you could turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 15. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That word follow there in verse 14 literally means to pursue after, to have a focus and pursue after something. We must pursue and focus on peace with all men. And it's not just, you know, those people we like. And even Caleb Ogle, I have to follow peace with him, especially after yesterday. But any person, no matter who it is, no matter if you like them, dislike them, if they're your friend, if they're your neighbor that keeps you up in the morning, whatever, whoever it is, that you need to follow peace with all men. And peace here is being emphasized in the Greek. It says, follow peace with all men. And when I think of looking diligently or pursuing after peace, I think of, you know, a girlfriend, boyfriend, something of that nature. My brother just got married less than a month ago. And I'm pretty sure, you know, while they were dating, and many of you maybe here are dating too, you pursue after that person. You look diligently after that person. You know, you text them in the morning. You make sure you text them before you go to bed. You text them throughout the day. You call them. You try to have a date with them. And you spend as much time with you can, and you pursue that person, whoever that may be. If you're a husband and wife, you pursue after your special someone. And in the same way, we should also pursue after peace with all men. It's not something that we should, you know, maybe if I get the chance to make it up to that person or forgive that person or ask forgiveness from that person, you need to pursue that Just like if you're, you know, trying to text your girlfriend or boyfriend goodnight, you need to do that and do that seriously. So every Christian must be pursuing peace with all men with a strong focus. And it's, first of all, we see removing bitterness, but also removing a boiling temper. It says, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So before we are able to forgive someone, we have to remove bitterness, and second, we have to remove a boiling temper. Anger must be removed if forgiveness is going to be executed. You know, when someone gets angry, you know, it's impossible for them to forgive someone when they're angry. They have to remove that from their heart before they do that. You know, before you get married, you think you know the person you're going to marry, right? I know this person so well. You know, we know everything about each other. And then you get married and, you know, after a couple weeks, you're like, "Do I know you? Like, who are you?" But there's things that you can't know about someone until you actually start living with them. 6 months ago today, my wife and I got married, and I'm thankful for her. And, you know, before we got married, you know, I thought I knew, you know, all there is to know. But after we got married, I quickly realized that I didn't know everything. And that can lead to arguments, that can lead to disagreements. And if you're not careful, you'll let that bitterness stop you from being able to forgive. You'll let that boiling temper stop you from being willing to forgive. So you must remove that boiling temper. And then thirdly, removing a bad mouth. It says in verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Clamor literally means several voices speaking or shouting loudly at the same time. You know, especially in an argument, there's people shouting all the time or whatnot. And that's what that word clamor means, is several voices speaking or shouting loudly at the same time. Evil speaking comes from the word meaning blasphemy. And when referring to people, this just means abusive speech or harmful speech to someone else. So we need to put away removing a bad mouth, and we can't be evil speaking or abusive speech towards someone. And your mouth will directly reveal who you are. "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." You don't have to turn there, but in James chapter 3 and verse 6, I'll just turn there. James chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And the verses before that, verses 3 and 4, says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." You know, our tongue controls us. Just like it says in verses 3 that they put bits in the horses' mouths, your tongue reveals who you are. And how does it reveal you? How does it reveal you when you get angry at someone, or when you, you know, have bitterness in your heart towards someone, or you're talking bad about someone else? That your tongue is revealing who you are. So first, we need to see remove bitterness. Second, remove boiling temper. And third, removing a bad mouth. And then, so first we need to remove all these things before we can forgive. And then also we need to have a renewal of spirit. And Ephesians chapter 4, and this, in the context in verse 22 and 23, it says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man." We have to have a renewal of spirit. And I just want to see a couple things here. Is walking in the spirit. Is walking in the spirit. If we walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We won't give in to that, you know, bitterness, that boiling temper. So we have to walk in the spirit, but we also have to live in the word. We have to be in God's word daily and have that relationship with him. Because if we don't have that special relationship with him every single day and walk in the Spirit and live in the Word, we're going to be even more susceptible to being angry at someone when something happens in our life, being in an argument and not putting away that boiling temper and that bitterness. So we need to remove those things and we need to have a renewal spirit. So first we see the great emptying before forgiveness, and then second, the great emphasis of forgiveness. In verse 32 of Ephesians 4, it says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." This here, it's a command. So first of all, we'll see it's a command. It's a present tense command, which means we should always be kind one to another. We should always be tenderhearted and forgiving one another. You know, I know Pastor Ogle was in the military, and many of you in here, I think, were. But if, and they can attest to this, but if their drill sergeant, when they were, you know, a private or in boot camp, said, "I want you to get on the ground and give me 50 push-ups," in their mind, they weren't thinking, "Well, I'll do it. Can I do it after lunch? Or do I really have to? I don't think I do. I mean, who are you to tell me? You know, I can do it if I want to, you know. If I want to just have a little workout, I'll do those push-ups, or I'll get to it later." No, they want to do it right then and there, as soon as possible. And that's a serious command. Any command that he would get from his drill sergeant, he would want to do it right away, and yes, sir, no, sir, right away. And it's a serious command. But why do we treat God's commands not as serious? He has given us a command here. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." It's not something that we can say, "Well, if I really feel like it, or if I get the time later after lunch or after church, I'll go forgive this person." No, it's, we need to do it right now, and it's a command from God. And so it's first, it's command, and then second, the focus on others. In the Greek text, "one to another" is being emphasized. In the same way that I would say, I could say this verse, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." God is emphasizing one to another. And when we forgive someone else, the focus is on, should be on them and forgiving them. You know, when God forgave us, when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, the focus wasn't on himself, but it was on all of us, because he loves us so much. And he's not willing that any should perish. And he has a focus on us and offering forgiveness to us. And we should also have that same focus on others. And then thirdly, the comparison to Jesus, which leads us to our last point, the great example of forgiveness. Where would we be without God's forgiveness? Where would we be? If we didn't have God's forgiveness, we would be condemned to a place called hell. Our sins wouldn't be taken away, and we would have to pay that punishment for our sins. And first of all, I want to see Christ's forgiveness on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I can't imagine, you know, being on the cross as Jesus was, and all the pain and the torture that has been inflicted, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when you were little, growing up, whether you were a kid or a teenager at the time, and your dad or mom decided to give you a spanking, you know, at that time when your parents are giving that spanking, you're not saying to yourself, "Wow, Dad, you know, you're awesome. Thank you so much. I forgive you." No, you're probably either mad, or you're like, "Oh, I don't want to get these spankings." And in your heart, you're not saying, "Lord," you're not saying, "Dad, you know, I forgive you," or "Dad, I really like you." But when Christ was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then secondly, we'll see Christ's forgiveness to you. How has Christ forgiven you? How has God forgiven you? He has forgiven all your sins, past, present, and future. No matter what they are, God has forgiven you. God forgave the thief on the cross. And he deserved to die on that cross. He deserved to be punished, but God forgave him. God can forgive Adolf Hitler. He can forgive any sinner on earth, no matter who you are. Even though you may say, "You know, my sin is so horrible, how could God forgive me?" He forgave you. In the same way, we should also forgive others the same way. No matter what they've done to us, no matter if they have persecuted us, no matter if they have shown you no good whatsoever, you should be willing to forgive them. In true forgiveness, there is no resentment or condemnation. You know, if you forgive someone and then, you know, maybe a week later something happens and you're angry at that person and you bring that one situation up that you already forgave that person for, then you really didn't forgive that person in the first place. So there is no resentment or condemnation in forgiveness. And you know, with God, our sins are remembered no more. When we accept Him and we accept His forgiveness, He doesn't see our sin. He sees Christ's righteousness, and our sins are remembered no more. And when we forgive others, we should also not remember that sin anymore. We should keep going and continue that relationship and not bring that back up. So is this task of forgiving impossible? Is it impossible? Is forgiving others like God has forgiven us an impossible task? I want to share a testimony of a man that all of you should know. Hi, my name is Joseph. When things seemed to be going well, everything went wrong. My brothers hated me. They planned to kill me. But one brother decided to be nice, and they decided to throw me into a pit and sell me as a slave. While being a slave to a general named Potiphar, you know, I was getting more responsibilities. I was over all the house, the finances, and Potiphar didn't even know what he had except for what was on the table to eat. And he placed me authority in his house. Things were going well. And then Potiphar's wife tempted me to do wrong. And I fled. I got out of there. But later I was falsely accused by her and I was thrown into prison. In prison I was forgotten. And after all of these things, after being betrayed by my brothers, they wanted to kill me, being thrown in a pit, being a slave, and then falsely accused, thrown into prison. After everything seemed to be going right, everything went wrong. I saw my brothers in Egypt. They came because of a famine. And I was able to interpret the Pharaoh's dreams, I was the second highest ruler in the kingdom of Egypt. And during that famine, my brothers came, and eventually we had a family reunion. And I finally saw them, and I forgave them. Genesis 50, if you could turn there, Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.'" Verses 18 through 21. "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." If you ask Joseph today, he would tell you that forgiving others is not impossible. It's not an impossible task. After seeing how God has forgiven us, how can we really forgive others? It seems impossible, but if God commands it, He will enable you to do it. You know, the world says, you know, if someone does something wrong against you, the world will say, you know, what are you going to do to get back at that person? What are you going to do to that person, you know, to make you feel better? But God wants you to give back kindness. He wants you to give back forgiveness to those people. No matter what they do to you, if they falsely accuse you, if they throw you into prison, if they plan to kill you or betray you, God still wants you to forgive that person. So will you, a representative of Jesus Christ, follow his example of forgiving others and remove those things from your life, the bitterness, the boiling temper, and the bad mouth. Remove those things. Have an emphasis on forgiveness. And then be an example. Follow God's example of forgiveness to others. Will you obey God's command? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that we would not only focus on what you've done for us around Thanksgiving time, but I pray that we would focus on what you have done for us every single day of our lives. And I pray that we would follow your example and forgive others as we have been forgiven. And I ask this in your name. Amen.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a few moments. You know, typically when something is re-gifted, it's because it's not worth a whole lot. But in this case, forgiveness is worth immeasurable amount. In fact, the Word of God says that silver and gold cannot redeem a man's soul. The precious blood of Jesus Christ did that. And that gives us the ability to forgive. One of the things that Jordan said that jumped off at me was when we refuse to forgive, it's a focus on self. And that's really the case. We're focused on us rather than on someone else, which is a violation of multiple other Bible passages. Jesus was not focused on himself. He was focused on others. And he was so focused that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, so that he might provide for us our redemption. When we forgive, we are demonstrating that love to others that our God gave to us. I can tell you, this subject is one in which it's impossible for us to not hear and not be at least sparked in some area to say, boy, that's a root of bitterness that started there, or that's an area where I've struggled to forgive, or we live in a world of people and sinners and constantly being rubbed the wrong way. Would you take a few moments this morning to allow the Word of God to sink deep into your heart and ask him, Lord, is there an area in which I have not forgiven, in which there is a root of bitterness springing up, in which I've focused on myself rather than on others? Would you take just a few moments? The piano is going to quietly play. Would you just sit there and ask God to do a work in your heart in the area of forgiveness as Rachel comes and just quietly prays, ask the Lord to do it. If you need to come, then come, but otherwise just stay there and ask God to do a work in your life. Let's sing that chorus together. Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Father, thank you for the challenge from Scripture. This is a a truth that we need every day. We're constantly running into folks that may rub us the wrong way or whatever, and that we need to practice the forgiveness that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that you forgave us and that we have the ability because of that to forgive others. Thank you for the word this morning, encouragement it is to our hearts. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we've got a little bit extra time this morning, but prayer meetings will be next door here in a few minutes. Choir practice up here, and then our fellowship time will be next door in that building. All right, we'll see you in just a little bit.